Blog Talk Radio.
Wanna love, 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 wan
All right, shalom, shalom, everybody. Lottie, Dottie, everybody. Good afternoon, first day of the week. Shalom, shalom. Is Brother Henry around today? This is his show. Brother Henry, if you're there, or whoever's going to do it, Brother Jeremiah, if somebody push one, we got a different show today. Shalom, Brother Donia, how are you?
I'm good. Shalom, Sister Yaina. Who was that you played just now?
That's Luther Vandross, Make Me a Believer.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. All right, you guys, I'm going to relinquish the mic in a few minutes. I'm getting ready to open up the mic for these two brothers because they're going to run the show today. It's going to be a different kind of show. Brother Henry, shalom, shalom. How are you?
Shalom, shalom. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Hold on, I'm going to get Brother Jeremiah open here for you, too, as your co-host today. And you guys can have the show. I'll open up the mic as the people push one, and we'll go from there.
Okay, great, great. Well, shalom, shalom, everybody. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing well?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just thank the Most High today. Okay. Well, I'm thanking the Most High for this opportunity to share a lesson today. Thank you, Sister Yain and Sister Sanaya, for allowing this forum. And I think this all came about is when we were talking about maybe developing a class for those who be newly awakened Israelites who may be coming out of church, who may have had many, many questions. So this is all about today. And we broke the topics up into 12 topics. And one of the first things we're going to talk about today is the law. Is it done away with? Now, I am one who came out of the church, was in the church for 32 years. So I understand what that feels like to be awake and all the questions that I had awakening. So today what we're going to do is we're going to answer 8 questions today pertaining to the law. Is it done away with? And we're going to have Brother Jeremiah read some of the scriptures as we go through the lesson today. And one of the first questions we're going to ask is, what is the law? Can we come up with a definition as to what the law is? You know, some of us may be familiar with the Ten Commandments, and the law is in the first 5 books of the Bible, which is often known as the Torah, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. So my question would be, what is the law? How would you define what the law is? And I can have some feedback on that. I just want to get an idea of what people think the law is, if they're newly on the
okay.
line.
All right. Anybody? I got area code 661. You guys, the way he's going to do this is he's going to ask questions, and we need for you guys to participate. So please push one so that we can get this up because we want everybody to hear. So I'm not going to do the show today. They're going to facilitate the show, and we need you guys to push one so we can have. He asked, what is the law? Area code 661, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Is it the Ten Commandments? Is that the law?
Well, that's part of the law, but how would you define it?
Not sure. I thought it was
okay.
Part of the Ten Commandments.
Well, it is. The law is part of the Ten Commandments, but if I had to come with a definition, this is the definition I have for the law. The law is the Most High instructions concerning the moral, the social, and the spiritual behavior of his people and anyone who chooses to follow him. So a set of instructions that we should follow. That would be a definition of the law. I'm sure people can kind of play with that definition. But however, that's a bigger definition for what the law is in the scriptures. And that being said, you know, although the Bible uses the word law, A-L-W, but there are also some other words in the scriptures that can also talk about the law as well. And I'm going to have some, Brother Jeremiah, are you there?
I'm here, brother. I'm here.
Oh, okay. We're going to go through some scriptures to kind of look at some other words in the scriptures that also represents the law. And for the law itself, Brother Jeremiah, can you read Exodus 24 and 12? On page 4 of the plan. Page 4?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Page 4. Exodus 24 and 12. And the Most High said unto Moses, come unto me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them.
Okay. Now, in that particular scripture, you know the word used law. And commandments are used interchangeably. So you see the word law, and then you will see the word commandments. But also there's another word we want to bring forth too, is the word ordinances. When I was first awakened, I didn't know what ordinance was and some other words that would pertain to the law. I just always thought the Bible just said law. But for the word ordinance, if we can go to read Colossians 2.14, Brother Jeremiah.
Sure. Colossians 2.14 out of the King James. Colossians 2.14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
In that particular scripture, you see it said blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances. So that was something that was written that we should have been following at that time in the scripture. So we've also to see the word ordinance actually can pertain to some law. And another word you want to write down is the word testimonies. And if we read Psalms 119 and 2, Brother Jeremiah.
Sure. Psalms 119 and 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
So he's asking us to keep something, and he asks us to keep in that particular verse testimony. So it's something that we have to follow. There's some type of instructions, even using the word testimony. And also the word precept. This was the word precept. I had no idea what that meant when I became awake. I had no, but I looked it up. It also meant the word command. Precept actually means command. If we could read Psalms 119 and 4.
Sure, Psalms 119, 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
Again, he's asked us to keep something diligently, those precepts. So that's also some type of instructions that we want to cue ourselves in on that particular word. And another word is statutes. And we can read that from Psalms 119 and 5.
Psalms 119 and 5. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Were directed to keep thy statutes. Sorry.
There we go. So we are directed to keep a statute, which is also could be pertaining to the law as well. And to prove that, most of us are familiar with those Ten Commandments, and one of the Ten Commandments, the tenth one, is thou shalt not covet. But however, if you go to Romans 7 and 7, Brother Jeremiah, 7 and 7, which is on page 5.
Sure. Yes, sir.
If you would read that.
Romans 7. Yes, sir. Romans 7 and 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but thy law, but the law. For I had known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Now, thou shalt not covet, most people know that as a commandment. But as you see, Paul wrote in Romans 7, 7, that he said, set the law. So he also called it a law. So we do know that the law as well as commandment. So this is just a word play. So we know when we see those words in the scriptures, it's also pertaining to some instruction or some law that the Most High wants us to follow. Now, do anybody have any questions at this point? What is the law? Is there anybody due to confess one if there's any questions on that? If not, we can go to question number two. Go ahead. Somebody press one.
You have area code 720.
Okay.
Somebody has a lot of noise in the background. I don't know where that noise is coming from, but it's a lot of noise in the background.
Sound like clanging? Or banging?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sorry, that's me. That's me. I'm sorry. I'm grilling and reading scriptures at the same time. I'll keep the noise down.
Okay. I got you. Okay. Now, all right, Eric,
and as far as
720, you press 1?
Yeah, I did. I was just going to try to answer the question about what the law was, but now that he's further explained it, I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we're going to move on to question number 2 for today. The question number 2 is, what is sin? We should understand what is sin. Now, when we came out of the churches, they told us sin was totally something different, such as smoking or drinking, or putting on makeup. Is that really sin, according to the scriptures? Some of those things may not be good for you, but I don't think it's necessarily a sin. So if anybody want to press 1 and let me know what sin is.
I think I'm already on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sin is the transgression of the law. It's anytime you go against what the Most High had commanded in the law, statutes, and commandments, and the Ten Commandments, I should say.
You're absolutely correct. And do you know a scripture that supports that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have one handy, no.
That's okay. We have one for you. So the scripture is 1 John 3 and 4. If Brother Jeremiah will read that, we'd be grateful.
Sure. 1 John 3 and 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
So if we have, if we don't have a law, can we sin? I don't know. Let's find out. Let's go to Romans 5 and 13.
Yes, sir. Romans 5 and 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
So you can't be guilty of sinning if there's no law. So there's no guilt there. So you have, in order to be a sinner, you have to have a law. So we were taught in churches that, you know, those other things with sin, like smoking stuff, it has nothing to do with it. So I'm not sure how it came about that. But even when I was there, I didn't know any better either. Because this is why it's important for us to read the scriptures and go over it. And let's read one more. Let's see Romans 3:20.
Romans 3 and 20. Oh, I don't have that. Hold on. Romans 3 and 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Exactly. So, in order to sin, you have to be breaking some law, so you have to have that knowledge. So you cannot be a sinner without a law. I just want to make that point. So the young lady is right. Sin is a transgression of the law. Okay, any questions about what is sin? Any questions there?
Wow, I think that was really good, because mm-hmm. that's something, you know, that I haven't gone through either, and that's really good, especially Romans 3 and 20, you know, where there's no knowledge of, where there's no law, there's no, you don't even know you're sinning.
Right.
That was real good. I like that. I'm put that in my treasure trove of scriptures, you know, especially dealing with the people of the church. So how do you think that if I were to approach someone at a church, how would I go about doing that and really explaining to them what sin is? Because a lot of the church people don't know what sin is.
Mm-hmm. And I think today it's just a lack of not knowing what the law is, because most people don't know what it is. So if they don't know the law, then they don't know that they're sinning to begin with.
Well, if the churches are teaching them that sin is the laws are done away with, then they're in sin unawares. A lot of them are unaware of it because they're committing sin and they don't even know about it. So if they don't know mm-hmm. what sin is, then that's the issue. That's the issue with the church.
Exactly. Because once you know what it is, then you begin to study those laws. You know that you have to have a law to be able to sin. Then you can. There's a lot
exactly.
of studying that goes behind that. It's really hard to explain that to some. They just don't get that concept.
So then, mm-hmm. how can they offer salvation from sin if the people don't know what they're being saved from? I don't understand.
Exactly.
Right. Right. It's that conditioning. They condition to think that way.
Well, let
and
me ask. Am I being heard?
Yeah, we can hear you, Brother Donia.
Okay, I just want to put my little 2 cents in there, and see, you know, there's more than just see what we're doing. We're confusing commandments, and then there's laws.
Right.
The 613 laws that were set aside for us to follow, those are the laws. The commandments
mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not steal. And in those laws, it tells you what it is that you're doing. You're stealing.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you an explanation. You understand? Now, it doesn't say that on the second part of the Ten Commandments, because Moshe didn't get a chance to write all that down. You understand? He just wrote the Ten Commandments. But we were given the laws we were given the commandments and the laws. And the commandments is the top subject matter,
mm-hmm.
and then there's laws that follow up the Ten Commandments, each
exactly.
one of them.
I agree 100%. And that's why I went over the different types of words the Bible uses to kind of represent that. So when we run across those words, we know we're talking about some type of law or some type of commandment.
That is absolutely correct.
So you can have different references for that, because there's certain words like precept. The word precept is a command, but I didn't know that until I started studying. So when I saw that, I knew that we was commanded to do something when it used that word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So that brings us, are we clear on what sin is? Or Sister Yaina, had any more feedback on that?
I have a question. This is 405.
Yes.
I think you have area code 405 opened up her mic.
Thank you. Shalom. Does that, the laws and the commandments, does that only apply to, to us? Or what about the other nations?
Well, Israel is supposed to be the teachers of all of that. So the other nations should follow him as well. At least that's what I believe. They should do the same thing. If we're teaching in other nations, they should follow laws and commandments as well. And we know they have not done that. They're actually teaching us not to do it.
Well, you know, another thing here, if I might add, is that we cannot do all the laws here in a captive state.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good that we understand what the laws are, so that when we go into our own community, back home, so to speak, you understand, we can start practicing the laws, and then you become totally responsible. Right now, you understand, you're only partially responsible for what only the laws that you can keep in the land of your captivity. It says that in Deuteronomy, when I bethink myself in the land of my captivity. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We can only keep the ones that we can keep, and we do the best that we can to the best of our ability. That's what we have to do.
So if you don't know the laws, are you still held accountable for them by the Most High?
That's a good question. Do we have anyone who can answer that question?
Yeah, I got an answer.
Yeah.
Is that, that's what this is about, finding out who you are, what laws we have. We first have to find out who we are in the Bible, in the book. You understand? Then we got to find out what laws or statutes that we got to follow. Now, when you ask that question, if you're not doing one of the law, if you're not under the one of those laws, then you're committing a sin.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is out of sync with what the law says. You understand? You're committing a sin.
And what about that scripture that says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge? So if you don't know, you don't have knowledge of it, you're still sinning, because you don't, that's why he says that his people perish for a lack of knowledge.
I'm going to go a step further, and I'm going to shut up. I'm sorry. I ain't going to teach your class. let's go back to the time when we were in Egypt. You understand? We had to leave out of Egypt because they were sinning. We cannot be amongst that kind of environment, because we become sinners. That's how gullible we are. Hallelujah.
And I also think at this time, I think the Most High knows where his people at this time. And I think his grace and mercy is right now is at play as we waken up, and we are coming closer to his law, statutes, and commandments. We're doing the best that we can, but we are waking up and we are doing better. So that's
how long
are
we going to by that? How long are we going to use that as an excuse?
well, he's a righteous judge, so we don't know. He's righteous. So we'll find out from there. But we're still waking up.
Well, one of the things that we're not doing is the fact that most of the church people are still worshiping on a Sunday.
Correct. They are.
They're still worshiping on Sunday. So they know to do right. I mean, they know what is right or what it says, but they're not doing it because, they're following the pagans, but they're not in captivity. They still have a choice, but they're not following it. And it's right there. It's written just as plain. And when you say something to them about it, they look at you like you're odd and crazy. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I know I just to say a testimony, I was teaching a class once, and I had posed a question to a young lady, what is sin? And she's been in the church for 50 years. You know, she had no idea. Her answer to me was, it's a feeling when she walked down the street. She said she feels strange. And I just kind of threw me off. I had no idea what she was talking about. So you could be in church for 50 years and not even know what it is. I mean, I was in church for a long time and didn't know what it is. But I think the Most High that I kind of wake up and now I know. So now I can kind of line up and straighten up myself, you know, line up the best I can with the law. But it's interesting. So did we find out? So now we know what sin is. I want to go move on to the next question. The next question would be number three. What is righteousness? Any idea what righteousness would mean? When we were in church, what did we think righteousness was? Anybody? Press one.
Yeah, righteousness. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I thought it was obeying God's laws. That's what I remember
right.
In church. If you're obeying God's laws, that's righteousness.
Exactly. Now, this is what we were taught, at least myself was taught in the church, that righteousness was if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you was righteous and saved at that point. That's what we were taught in church. But however, biblically, righteousness means something totally different than that. And we're going to give you some scriptures on that. So one first scripture I want to use is Deuteronomy 6:25. And then Brother Jeremiah will read Deuteronomy 6:25.
Yes, sir. Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Most High our Elohim, as he hath commanded us.
Well, there you go right there. If you observe all the commandments, that's your righteousness. So righteousness is walking in the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High to the best of your ability. That would make you righteous. And we're going to say some more scriptures. Isaiah 51:7. Brother Jeremiah?
Yes, sir. Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their violence.
Yes, the people whose heart is in the law is the righteousness. Is your heart is right with the law is your righteousness. Now we go to Deuteronomy 4:8. But
Deuteronomy 4:8. Deuteronomy 4:8.
Mm-hmm.
And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all his as all this law, sorry, which I set before you this day.
So you go righteous as all this law. So he's saying the law is righteous in this scripture. So when we follow him, that is our righteousness. And we're going to go on use another scripture, Psalms 119:172, Brother Jeremiah.
Yes, sir. Psalms 119:172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness.
The commandments are righteous. That's what that scripture says. All the commandments are righteous. Brother Jim, I jump down to Psalms 15:1-2.
Yes, sir. Psalms 15:1-2. Most High, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speak the truth in his heart.
So when you're walking uprightly, you work in righteousness. So it's all connected. Walking uprightly and being righteous is walking in his laws. And it's also, we can go to the New Testament scripture. We have a New Testament scripture, which is in Luke 1:6. Jeremiah, read Luke 1:6.
First John 5:17.
No. Luke 1:6.
Oh, I'm sorry. Luke
it's
1,
right
6,
above
I'm
the
last
scripture. Mm-hmm. It's right above Psalm 15:1-2.
Did I get that? Luke 1:6. Sorry about that. And they were both righteous before Most High, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless.
There you go. So they were walking in righteousness, but they were walking in the commandments, and that's why they were called righteous. So any questions concerning what is righteousness? I think that's pretty clear cut. And then what is unrighteousness? So it's going to be the opposite of righteousness. And Brother Jeremiah, read 1 John 5 and 17.
Yes, sir. 1 John 5, 17. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death.
Just the opposite. So unrighteousness is following the law, as a commandment. Unrighteousness is sin, transgression of the law at that point. And the Bible also uses other words for sin, just like it uses other words for the law, like the word evil, the word wicked, and the word iniquity are words that the Bible uses to represent sin as well. And I have scripture from, we won't read those scriptures, so I don't want to make the lesson too long, but just let you know those words are used to represent the sin. And if we go read Psalms 119 and 115. You have that one, Brother Jeremiah?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Psalms 119, verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my Most High Elohim.
In that scripture, there's a contrast. If you notice the contrast, it says, depart from me, ye evildoers. So ye evildoers is the opposite from keeping the call, the law, statutes, and commandments. As you see in that scripture, the commandments. Great. So moving along, any questions on what is righteousness?
Well, then, from what you're saying is that everything that everybody is doing is wrong. Then, I mean, you know, from what you just read in all the scriptures, the whole system that we consider to be religious system is completely, is doing the opposite.
It's doing the opposite, correct. It's the opposite.
I was a question, too, because I was listening to something today and then listening to what you just, what I read from the Word, from what you mentioned from the Word. So if religion is saying you have to be born again, so that's where I'm confused. So that means that when you're born again, you do the commandments, you do the commandments and you're righteous. What if you're not born again and you do the commandments? Is that born again component? Was that correct?
Well, Sister Yaina has a whole teaching on born again, which is not my expertise. So, Sister Yaina, you want to step in there, you certainly can.
Can I? Being born again, according to what the scripture says, has nothing to do with what the Christian church teaches.
Mm-hmm.
It is something completely different. And if you go out on our YouTube channel, and our YouTube channel is Yehuda Project, the name of the YouTube teaching is Deja Vu, No New Thing Under the Sun, and I think it's part 1, 2, and 3, and if you listen to that, you'll understand what it means to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to
so
do with
so that accepting the Messiah and all that.
Yes, ma'am.
So that accepting the Messiah
all right.
and all that, that was another teaching.
Yes, ma'am.
I think the brother,
because remember he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus had a question. He said, "How can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time?" And the Most High admonished him. He said, "And you a teacher of Israel, and you don't know this?" So there are different components to the word that they have taken, just like salvation, just like he taught about righteousness, just like he taught about unrighteousness, that have a totally different meaning, and born again is another one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Can I bring out, too, what the brother said about righteousness? Doing righteous is also, it does not clear you either, because when he read in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 51 and 7, the Most High was saying to the people to also have righteousness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that righteousness in your heart, which is in, you know, the law in your heart. That's what brings out righteousness. Because you know that you can do it just to be seen, but is it in your heart? Because many times people will play like or either pretend to in man's eyes, but in the sight of the Most High, they're not, it's not in their heart. You know, it's just like kids know the law, they know your rules, yet they go out somewhere, and just because you're not there to see them, then they do something else. And many times, that's what we do. I mean,
you probably can apply that to remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You can apply it to them because I think they did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And can I say one thing, please?
Okay.
And remember, in scriptures, it says keeping the laws in your heart. It means your mind, your thoughts.
Right.
The perfect example, I'm going to give you a perfect example, is keep your hand off the scale. And I forgot what the other one was. But you got to treat your brother with uprightness and righteousness. You understand? That's an example of being right, uprightness. Most of the time, see, we can't do this law by ourselves. Or we can, but it wasn't set up that way. It was the dealings that we have with others, other of our brothers. So we got to be righteous in all our dealings. We can't teach the other nations about righteousness if we're not doing it.
Correct. I agree.
So one more question. One more question about this. So you scratch out the born again part. That was supposed to be a byproduct of accepting the Messiah. So do you scratch that part out too? Or how does that incorporate with your righteousness, or does it not?
It does.
To be born again is to follow the laws, the statutes, and commandments, repent and turn to the Most High, your Elohim, and keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments, and changing your mind and the way you think and the way you talk. That's righteousness. That's worthiness. That's being born again.
I can agree with that.
And I believe that you can't do it without the Ruach. I really do. I mean, that's my belief. That's why Meshach, that's why he died and he sacrificed it. And he said that he would send us a comforter and to remind us. And it's a reminder because it didn't work when the old. It really didn't work because they needed the guidance. And the Ruach HaKodesh is your guidance. It shows you what's right, and it's in your heart or in your mind, as you said, to remind you you're doing the wrong thing. Or it'll remind you and let you know that, hey, you know, you can't think that way because sometimes our thoughts is unrighteousness. You don't have to do it. It's just your thoughts.
Your thoughts, exactly.
If I might add something to that, if I let me know if I'm interrupting here, because
you're good.
Okay,
go
you understand? See, the only reason we think these type of things is because of our captivity. We got to remember that we know nothing about being righteous to one another, because that we don't live in that kind of society. We've been hamstrung with this society, and it's not, it takes us away from the Almighty and not to the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about and ask questions or whatever, you understand, that's based on our captivity. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us to another question and going to the next question. I think it leads right into that. Why do we think the law is done away with? Why do we think that? What are some of the reasons people use to say the law is done away with? Anybody?
Well, I'm sorry.
It was a part of control, so they can control what or manipulate the people of what they wanted them to do, opposed to what was right.
Okay. So you say it's control. Anybody else?
No, I'm going to let y'all go.
Come here, sir. I ain't going to touch that, right? So I have a few things here. Go ahead, sister.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with Paul's teachings about the law being done away with. I don't have a scripture that I have right here, but I think it has a lot to do with Paul's teachings because most of the churches aren't teaching much of anything besides what Paul said.
And I can agree with you because that's one of the ones I have. I have four written down in front of me here, and that's one of them, is that people think Paul spoke against the following the law, or there's a lot of misinterpretation of Paul's writings that could be misleading sometimes if it's not understood, I believe. Another reason I have is maybe because they think grace and faith covered it all, covered sin and covered, you know, you don't have to do the laws because of faith and grace. Or because the Messiah died on the cross, it could be many of those interpretations they think the law is done away with, because I've heard those things before. Anybody have any others?
Or could it possibly be because if they knew that that's what we were supposed to be doing and that would keep his people on the right path, that was just a deterrent to keep us off, like it was a method?
Yeah,
to try
that could
to keep
be. Could be. Because remember, we came into this condition because we didn't follow the law, that's the commandment. But like Sister Yaina always said, when we came across on the ship, it didn't matter whether you had the Messiah or not. We all came on the ship together, all at the same time. So we really came up because we didn't follow his laws to begin with, and that's why we here now today. So, and let's
leave
that
to the
next. Okay, I'm sorry.
You have another listener, area code 972, just press 1.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I think one of the reasons why we've been told that it's not necessary to follow the law, statutes, and commandments is right in line with what the sister just said, and that is it keeps us, it makes us break the covenant. We are supposed to keep the covenant that we made with the Most High, and if we don't keep the law, statutes, and commandments, we break that covenant. So as long as we say it's under grace, we no longer have to abide by the law, we will consistently break the covenant, and we will never be able to be reconciled to the Father. And those blessings that are supposed to fall on Israel will never fall on Israel. We have an adversary, and the adversary has a people. And they have put things in place in such a way that if we do what they say, we will never be free, and we will never be reconciled to the Father, because we will never be able to go back and abide by the covenant that we made with him.
Exactly. Absolutely correct. I can agree with that 100%. I really can. So that leads, actually, led us to the next question on this lesson. What is grace? Let's talk about grace for a minute. Let's see if we come up with a definition. I came up with a definition. This is my definition of what grace is. It's the Most High's unmerited favor, that is, the Most High doing good for us when we did not deserve it. In other words, it's like a gift. It's an opportunity at this time. And I want to go to some scriptures to see whether we have grace, should we not follow the law, statutes, and commandments because we have grace? Let's find out. Brother Jeremiah, read Genesis 6 and 8.
Yes, sir. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Most High.
See here, Noah had grace. So Noah had grace already, but did he follow the law, statutes, and commandments? Let's find out if he did or not. Let's go to 2 Peter 2 and 5.
Yes, sir. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
So here we find that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and we just found out what righteousness really is. It's falling in line with the law, statutes, and commandments. So Noah not only had grace, but he also followed the law, statutes, and commandments. So that kind of debunks whether we should be following laws or not. And to provide further scripture that can support that is Romans 6, 1 and 2.
Yes, sir. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
And so here we go, that grace may abound, but the scripture says God forbid, which means no. So we can have grace, but don't mean that we don't have to follow the law, because God forbid. And also read Romans 6:14. Just 14, Brother Jeremiah.
Yes, sir. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Now, this is a go-to scripture for when I was in the church. They've always quoted this scripture that we were not under law, that we were under grace. But however, they always forget to read the next verse, which is 15, which kind of put a little light on the whole situation. Brother Jeremiah, read verse 15.
Yes, sir. Verse 15, Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid.
Here we go. God forbid means no. So absolutely not. Grace does not keep us from not following those laws. So we should still follow them or make an attempt to follow them, even though it says the law is on the way there. Any questions about that with grace?
Can I say something? I just wanted to add that grace is, when you think about Paul being the apostle sent to the Gentile, for him to tell them that they are not under the law, you know, but that they're under grace, which gives them mercy. Because to me, grace is like mercy. It gives you time. It gives you time to correct your error and allow you to fix what's wrong without you having the punishment of death on you because you are breaking the law. But when you understand that he was sent to the Gentiles, you know, for him to make that statement to them, you know, it's kind of ringing true to a point, because Paul was not sent to the Israelites. He was sent to the Gentiles, but a lot of the scriptures that we have read ring true because he's explaining to them how our governmental system works as it pertains to the law. You know, so, yeah, I agree with you 100%. There's some good stuff. I'll relate to Mike.
Okay, now, since we got that question, grace, how about the next thing? What about faith? You know, what is that? What is faith? Should we not follow law because of that, too? I like to always define words, and I like to find out what faith really, how it's defined. And the definition I came up with is a belief in or confident attitude toward the Most High, involving commitment to his will for one's life. In other words, believing everything the Most High promised he said he was going to do. So we have faith in believing that he's going to perform all of that. So even stuff that we have not even seen yet, do we believe that he's going to do it? To me, that's what faith is. And the Bible also has a definition of what that is as well. And that's Hebrews 11:1. And I think I got that on there, Jeremiah. Can you read Hebrews 11:1? Brother Jeremiah, you still there? Oh, maybe he left. I'll read.
Hold on, sorry. I went on mute.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
It's right under the definition of faith.
Okay. Now, faith is the substance, assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So that's the Bible definition of what faith is, the assurance of things hoped for. Because we know the Most High has so many things that have not been done yet. So we have faith in believing those things are going to come. So do we get rid of the law because of that? Let's see. Romans 3:31 is a scripture for that.
Romans 3, verse 31. No, God forbid.
Yes. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. No. So we don't. So although we have faith, we still should continue to seek out his law, statutes, and commandments. And guess what, y'all? We going down to the last question. Does the Most High change? Does he ever change? Is he the same? Always. And we want to go to Malachi 3 and 6.
Yes, sir. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Most High, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
So that's good to tell. He changed not. He never, ever changes. So that means his laws and statutes never change. Read Hebrews 13 and 8.
Yes, sir. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Yahweh Shai, the same yesterday and today and forever.
So nothing has changed. And that's pretty much our last question. But just to add on to that, because this is about the end of the lesson, to add on to that, when I was doing some research and I was trying to see, find out what about the Most High's character. And I looked at everything about his character, and then I looked at everything about his laws. And you know what? They matched up perfectly, the laws and his character. And I have many scriptures for that, but I don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but I'll say what his character was. He said the Most High was eternal. His laws was eternal. The Most High is spiritual. The law is spiritual. The Most High is righteous. His law is righteous. The Most High is perfect. His laws is perfect. The Most High is light. His law is light. The Most High is truth, and his law is truth. The Most High is good. The law is good. The Most High is just. The law is just. The Most High is pure. The law is pure. The Most High is love. The love is pure. The Most High is great. The law is great. The Most High is holy, and the law is holy. And we can back that up with many scriptures. So I figure his character can never change. So that means the law is not done away with, and he can never, ever change. And I relinquish the mic back to Sister Yaina.
Wonderful job. Wonderful. Anybody have any questions for him, or you guys have open dialogue, you want to talk to him about it, and have you have any more responses of any kind for him and Brother Jeremiah? This is Brother Uriah is the teacher. Brother Jeremiah did the reading. If you guys have any questions, now is the time.
I
think you've done a great job.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wonderful job. So when you said that, you said being born again is to repent and turn to the Most High, right? And so what about the Most High is considered to be accepting the Messiah. Is that equal to, or is that something different, doesn't apply?
Sister Yaine, you got that one for me?
Uh-oh, you want me to get that one? Well, just like this. We have Messianic and non-Messianic. Some people that are non-Messianic believe that the Most High is Yah. The Messianics believe that the Most High is Yahweh Shai, which is the Messiah. So if you believe in the Messiah, the Most High can be the Messiah unto you. And that's another teaching that I'm getting ready to get into. I'm sorry, because I read something that gave me a little bit more insight on really what's going on. I haven't been able to put it down into a PowerPoint slide as of yet, but I'm going to work on it. But some people call him Yah, some people call him Yisrael, some people call him Yahweh. It's whoever he is to you. Because everybody on this line doesn't believe in the Messiah, because we are the same people that came into Egypt and the same people that came over on the boat. We have those that believe and those that don't. So it's who he is to you.
At
so what
time.
Is the truth? I'm open to what the truth is. What is the absolute truth?
Well, it
though?
Depends on the end. There is no absolute truth. It is what you choose to believe. It's what you believe. Do you believe in the Messiah?
If that's just like saying, what do I believe sin is? If I know the truth says sin is to transgression of the law, but then I don't believe that, that ain't true. So I want to know what is the truth so I can say, this is the truth,
well,
let me follow the truth.
Well, let me expound on that real quick. The truth is in Psalms 119, verse 142. It says, and thy law is the truth.
Oh, that's powerful. Powerful, powerful right there.
Mm-hmm. And
in
can
the
I
law,
add that?
Here's the truth. Go ahead. Talk
and can I add? We were taught in the churches that Jesus was asked, what must I do to be saved? And what the reply was, you must be born again. But born again was not a part of being born again to be saved or to obtain righteousness, because we have righteousness through the law. But so when Yeshua said you must be born again, he wasn't, in my opinion, he wasn't talking about to obtain righteousness. He was talking about something totally different than what we were taught in the churches. He was talking about being for lack of a better word, I'll say rejuvenate, reincarnated, which is what
regenerated.
It was totally different. It wasn't to obtain righteousness. It was to, he was saying something different. And I think the mindset is, well, if I have to be born again to be saved or to obtain righteousness. We have righteousness through the law of the Most High.
Right. But guess what? It all plays in it together because you have to be regenerated. And it's a deep teaching. And that's why it's something that I think we have to go over again, sis, the lady who had the questions, because she says, I want to know what is true. And that's the same thing that Pilate asked Yahushua. He said, I came to teach truth. He said, what is truth? So that's a million-dollar question that's been out there forever. And because we have free will, he leaves it up to the individual to either believe some or believe all. It's up to you what you choose to believe to say what's going to get you where you need to go. And that's an individual choice. But like you said, the law is true. Because if you follow that, you can't lose. So, I mean, you know, we'll have to get into some more teaching on that so that you have a clear understanding, because everybody has to be deprogrammed from what we've been taught in the Gentiles church. Because we got that stuff from the Gentiles. We did.
I think one way of looking at it. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. I'm looking at Genesis 15 and 16 when we're talking about Abraham, and it says that his righteousness, you know, he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But the thing that he had to do was he actually had to obey. And so the thing is we can't get around that. When we talk about what is righteousness is just not a belief. It's actually doing what it is that you know to do. And we have been told explicitly what to do, and that is to follow those laws, statutes, and commandments. Those are the things. That's the covenant that we made with the Most High, that we were going to obey him as his people. We are a nation in exile. And so as a nation, one of the things that we have to do in order to be gathered again together as a nation is we have to fulfill that covenant. We have to obey those laws, statutes, and commandments. And he's telling us Abraham was before. He was before the law, statutes, and commandments, and yet he had his belief counted as righteousness, not simply because he believed, but because he obeyed. We are called to obey and do what we're supposed to do. And so the Messiah came. He says, you know, he shows us the way. He shows us what it is that we're supposed to do, and he did not do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to show us how it is that we're supposed to live out the law.
Now, I'm just going to say that would be our next section of teaching on the law, about the Messiah and the law and how he connected with that as well, so we can get some scriptures on that.
Is that remember Abraham was going to kill Isaac on the barbecue bit, but he listened to what the Almighty said. Don't kill him. I got something over there in the thicket for you. You understand? So he did that sight unseen. He didn't even see no creator.
Absolutely.
So that was part of him being. The Almighty seeing righteousness in him, you understand, because he did this sight unseen. He put his son on the barbecue bit, and then he took his son off because of the Almighty saying, I got something over here for you. Don't kill him. And I'm using the vernacular of the day. Hallelujah.
A lot of people try to
interfuse the two. They try to interfuse the Gentile church with the teaching of Israel. You cannot do that. There's no way possible you can do that. That has to be separated completely, because we have to teach them how to worship Yah. And understanding that, we have to be able to say, okay, these are the components of the law we can keep in this captivity. You know, and we do the best we can in this captivity, because, you know, there are certain things the punishment part of the law we can't do right now because we're not in our own land. And the animal sacrifice we cannot do because we're not in our own land. And we have taught that in the clips that we put up here recently, that the animal sacrifice is coming back in the thousand-year reign because the people that died not knowing they were Israel is coming back. So they have to be able to be brought in under that same system. So, you know, I think that, you know, it's very complex, but it's very simple. It's just when, you know, once you get a clear understanding of it, and pray that the Most High gives you a clear understanding of it. But I can tell you this much, that what the church is teaching, and the black church is teaching especially, is erroneous doctrine. It's not real, because it does not measure up to the scriptures. And understand they are teaching the Gentile method to the Israelite people, and that doesn't work. Because we are different. We have been set apart to know him, to be able to explain to the world how things are supposed to be done. We have to teach them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're right. You're right. You're right. And I'm so thankful. So how the Father has in my mind, I have a list. And so he will go from one. I said, so is this not it? Scratch that out. This that it says scratch it out. Because, you know, we have family members that still involved. So, you know, how simplistic as you say, no, this isn't this. This is wrong, but this is correct. This is wrong, this is correct. People want to know that even as I'm learning, okay, scratch this out. How does this connect with this? Okay, I learned this, but how is this false and what is true? How is this false and what is true?
Right.
So thank you for
now,
that.
Now, I believe in the Messiah. I believe in the Messiah. I believe he came. He died for our sins, for Israel, because they asked him. He said, I am only sent before the lost tribe of the children of Israel. So he said, I didn't come for the world. I came for the children of Israel. So I believe that all of that is true, and I understand the process and what happened to bring us up into that system. Everybody up there on this line does not believe that, but they still family at the end of the day, because we are still the descendants of those 12 boys.
Absolutely. It's a bloodline.
Right.
That's absolutely. We're not connected by belief, but we're connected by bloodline. And we all came together, and we all are leaving together. So that's what makes this so significant above other camps and different things like that, because we have managed to come together to do this to a way where we'll be able to do this. But area code 478, your mic is open. Brother Yerush Shalom, your mic is open.
He might be on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can now. Yeah.
Okay, I just had a comment. I just wanted to say this has been a beautiful class. The brothers, I think y'all did a great job. I've been listening the whole time. This has been educational.
Oh, praise the Most High.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, bro.
You're welcome.
All right, any other questions for the brothers while they're on here? I mean, you know, because this is the time. This is basic 101. And
yes.
They put this together to help those people coming out of the church just to get the basic 101.
I'm waiting on the second episode.
It was very, very good. It was very, very good. You guys did a great job. And
very
it was
informative.
Very,
yes, it was.
Thank you.
It was. It was very basic.
Thank
the
you.
Scriptures were very much on point. It was great. Very good.
Absolutely.
Can I make
too.
One more? Okay, go ahead.
Yes,
with
sir.
The question.
Go ahead, Brother Yerma.
Question?
Question? Oh, okay. So when it talks about when we pray for new grace and new mercy, so that. So when you talked about what grace is, and you're still doing the law, so can you explain a little bit more? So, like, explain it more so it's kind of tangible in my mind. What is you say is favor? But like, give me some examples. Can you give me some examples, please?
Well, grace is God's unmerited favor. For example, of course, we know none of us are perfect. But we still kind of break those laws. But we have an opportunity to repent when we do that. So that's kind of like mercy, that we can go to him and do that, repent for some of the sins that we're doing, if that makes any sense.
Can I give an example?
And Sister,
sure.
Yeah, and Sister Yaina gave a good example of grace, so go right ahead.
Well, I once heard someone give an analogy that if you were stopped by a police officer and you were violating the law, and he stopped you and he let you know that he recognized that you violated that law and you knew that, then he would say, or sometimes, they'll say, I'm not going to give you a ticket. This is just a warning. What the police officer just gave that person was grace. That doesn't give you an authorization to go and break the law again. That was
great. Right. Good analogy.
That was the favor of the Almighty and the mercy of the Almighty. Remember,
exactly.
The Almighty said that he was going to turn his back on us, but he left mercy in play. Remember now, what we're doing now here, we haven't, the problem that we have now is that we never had seen the Almighty, and we only hear stories about what he had done. We got to understand that the Almighty is with us in our captive state. He left mercy there. Just like you made the example of the police stopping him. Suppose you had went to jail. If you went to jail, that was the mercy of the Almighty, because they could have killed you in these days and time. So you was under favor of the Almighty and the mercy. Hallelujah.
And I want to say something real quick. Someone earlier said that the commandments were given when Abraham. That's when the commandments were given. However, you got to remember, when you go back to Adam, God gave Adam commandments. This is 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, real quick. And gave us the body unto Abraham without soul, which was the workmanship of thine hands, and didst breathe into him the breath of life, and he was given, and he was made living before thee, and thou leadest him into paradise, which thy right hand had planted before ever the earth came forward. And unto him thou gavest commandment to love thy way, which he transgressed, and immediately thou appointest death in him and his generations, of whom came nations, tribes, people, and kindreds out of number. And every people walked after their own will and did wonderful things before thee and despised thy commandments. I relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also,
hallelujah.
Let me read this scripture too real quick. I want to read this to her about mercy. If you go to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, it says, the steadfast love of the Most High never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. So,
Hallelujah.
Every morning we get new mercies because we need it every morning. We can't we can't function because this flesh wants to sin. It still has a desire to want those things that break the law. And we have
that
to bring
correct.
This flesh under subjection every moment of every day, even
Hallelujah.
Your thoughts, because it starts in the mind.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, so if we need this every, it's not something that you can just, you can be saved from and then you don't have to never worry about it no more. It's a constant battle all the time.
Okay. I can agree with that.
Yeah,
constantly. It's a constant battle.
It's grace,
you know,
and mercy.
So we have to, yeah. Say again.
Is grace and mercy the same?
Well, I believe that mercy extends you. I believe that grace gives you time, and I think that mercy gives you favor because you have to have time. Because see, if we didn't have this, we would have been killed. Because the way the punishment was, there was no room for error. If you did something, you was put to death. If that's
that
what the
correct.
Capital punishment was. So in our own land, you know, we were we followed the law, statutes, and the commandments, but as we went into these captivities, we began to do that the things that our captors did, and the Most High had to come and give us some grace and mercy to give us time to correct our errors, because you have to be able to correct your errors, and he shows you that mercy where he doesn't extend his hand and take your life. That's why he's long suffering, because he knows the situation we in.
That is correct.
Okay, that makes sense. You brought it up.
I agree with that.
You brought it up because it was by grace that Noah was saved, because he allowed him to save him through grace. But with mercy, it's an extent of what were we saying? I'm trying to get them separated because they do mean different now that you were saying you were talking about it. I understand it now.
Yeah, it's favor. I mean, you know, you have to be able to understand. It's like when Esther went before the king. You know, when she was in his bedroom, that was his wife. But when he was in his king's chamber, she was like everybody else. And until he extended that rod to let her come before him, he could have had her killed if he didn't extend the rod, because there's a difference between the two. You know, if she couldn't change it just because she was his wife. So mercy extends the rod. Where the Most High say don't kill them, they still learn it. I'm giving them time to understand how to fix this.
Yep.
Because
when
Moshe was on his way back to Egypt, his sons wasn't circumcised. Now imagine this: you on Mount Sinai, you wake up to a bush that's burning, and the leaves are still green, and the stems are still brown, and this voice is speaking to you out of the fire. He gives you a commandment and a commission, and you're on your way to do what he told you to do. But guess what? Because his sons was not circumcised, the scripture said the Most High was coming to kill him.
That is correct.
His wife took a rock and circumcised those two boys.
Okay.
So, you know, this is where mercy comes in at. And because she did that, he stayed his hand. He was like, he was gonna come take Moshe out. No, that's the God we serve, but because of grace and mercy, we don't see that side of him because he gives us time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we at now. We in that
you
time.
Say that again. Yep. Ooh, mercy.
Yeah, we in that time.
Give us time. We need time to get this right, because we've been programmed to do things the wrong way, and now that we know who we are, he's given us time to do it the right way. And my mind is wretched. I have to keep it under the. I have to keep it under the blood.
Okay.
I do. I really do. You know, even with the Ruach, even with the Holy Spirit. Okay, anything else, you guys? I mean, you guys are doing a great job. I'm going to shut up because I don't want to talk. This is the whole person. I think you're doing great. You're doing great.
Well, I just thank the Most High for the opportunity that it can generate some conversation to understand more of the scriptures and more of the situation that we're in. So it is a blessing.
Hallelujah.
And you get a chance to hear everybody's view. Because everybody ain't got the same understanding. You understand? We learn here. I can learn something from what I heard today. I learned something.
You too. You too, Brother Donian. Me too. How powerful is that word? And that mind is powerful. This word is powerful.
Exactly.
It is powerful.
You know, what's so exciting for me, you understand, is that that book is so powerful and so exciting. If you just read it, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Read it on a weekly basis. You don't have to read it every day. You understand? And see, I done got to the point where I'm in every little episode. I'm in there. I'm in like part of the crowd. You understand? So, you know, because I'm looking to figure all of this out, try to put it all together. You understand? It's exciting, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yes, it is. powerful.
It's so rich because, and I just say it's so rich. But since what you're reading on Wednesday night, you're going through the Old Testament again. Like you said, I'm catching stuff I didn't see the first time we did it. It's so rich and amazing.
It is absolutely amazing.
And I believe Christianity. I believe Christianity threw us off when they started taking our culture and made it out of a religion, and then at the same time they threw in the Trinity.
And you have to be able to understand that too. Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say one thing, and I'll be quiet. I know it's for our advanced people, but when we get choked up on the name and all the names, we know who we're talking about. We know who they are. We know exactly who he is. Revelations 3 and 12. Revelations 3, verse 12. He that overcometh, I will write upon him the name of my God. I will write upon him my new name. That's in Revelations. So, you know, we just got to keep our focus on, like Brother Uriah said, keeping the laws, the statutes, and the commandments, which Sister Yaina went over. We had a class on it. There is a YouTube on there. You just got to go out there and find it and do what this word says. Hallelujah.
Isn't it a great life to live once you know you're not a religion in your nation and you can live it with some normalcy? And you can enjoy your life, and you're not held and bound by all of the isms and schisms that the church brought on you. And you can look at them like you're not really living. You don't even understand what it means to live and be a part of the nation of Yah's people, because we are a nation.
Absolutely.
And it says the scripture says, truth shall make you free. I feel free. I do from that.
You know, the thing is that, you know, everybody is not going to get it at the same time. And we got to be thankful for that particular portion, because now we got a certain portion of the understanding. We could tell it to somebody else. And that's how, and so we can pass it on and on and on. You understand? And everybody's not going to get it at the same time, with the exception of when the Almighty brings us back unto our land, because there will be no unrighteousness seen in that land at all, period. You understand? So we're going to have to clean up our act, do what's right, learn about the laws, the statutes, and ordinances and commandments, because you should keep them and do them, and you will live and not die. Hallelujah. And that doesn't mean that you're going to live, from my perspective, that you're going to live forever. If you teach it to your children, then your children teach it to their children, and so forth and so on. That's how you live forever. That's your legacy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. And it's just a blessing. Like I said, you guys did great. I'm glad I didn't have to talk today. We are going to do more of these. You know, they're going to have at least 12 more, and we're going to put these out there for the people to understand, because it's good to hear the people talking and to let somebody else do the teaching. And I think that you guys did a magnificent job. It was wonderful, you know, and it was really good. So, you know, I think that everything is going according to y'all's plan, you know, and our goal is to make teachers out of everybody, because that's what we do. We teach, we are supposed to teach the other nations how to worship our Elohim, because he's our God.
Hallelujah.
And I think the Gentiles did their best to try to understand the scriptures from their perspective, but nobody can understand him like we can, because he chose us to be his people.
Absolutely.
I think they did their best, you know, but again, he chose us to be his people, and he's deposited us with the things that we need to have to understand it all.
I think you're being so generous. I think that the Gentiles, it was a plan to take us off kilter. That's what I really think that, because it's just so much confusion. Do you know what I mean? That's just what I feel. You're being so generous and saying they did the best they can. But I think it was a hidden agenda to take us off. And I guess it was prophetic too, so it had to happen like this.
Well, I think they wanted to include themselves because they were included in the New Testament, that they wanted to include themselves, and they convinced themselves that because we messed up, that they could replace us as spiritual Israel. But Paul told them that in Romans as well. He said, if y'all cast away his people, he said, God forbid. He said, well, mm-hmm. that's not going to happen. It is not going to happen, you know? So, you know, they have to, that's always been the issue because they wanted to be us, and everybody wants to be us but us. That's Romans 11. He said, has God not cast away his people which he foreknew? Were you not, the scriptures say, of Elijah? He said, God forbid. He has not cast away his people under no circumstances. And he said he never would. But you only find that in the Old Testament, where he says, I'm coming to get you. I promise you I'm coming to get you. I'm not going to leave you in those lands in your captivity. But if they tell you not to read the Old Testament, you'll never know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know we have a level of grace, and we have to be gracious. You know, when we're in leadership, you have to be gracious. Sometimes you have to say things that other people won't say. You know, and you have to be diplomatic about what you say. And believe me, I am very wise at what I say. The Bible tells you to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You know, because they control these venues, and they cut you off when they want to cut you off. You know, so we want to be able to stay on here and teach our people how to be a peaceable people and how to keep the law, statutes, and the commandments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then, of course, there's a conspiracy going on. It has always been one. They conspired together that we would never be a nation again. But nobody supersedes y'all. Nobody. My sister said that it was one of Trump's cabinet members that told him 1619 ain't what they thought it was. We got scholars, and I've got well-educated scholars at Harvard University that can debunk that. And Malcolm said something that made a whole lot of sense. Debunk what? It's on your government website. You made it into a law. Y'all fixed it where you made it into a law so we would know that it's been validated. So what you scared of?
Absolutely.
So go ahead, Brother Donia.
I forgot what I was going to say. You probably hit on what I was going to say. My mind ain't there all the time now. I'll be 77 Tuesday.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
I just say that for that. I was just letting you know that I'm old.
That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But, you know, I'm just honored to be a part of those that are woke. Because my family's not woke either, not all of them. And I got bishops and apostles and evangelists and pastors in my family and all through my family that they're not woke, you know. But what can I do? All I can do is teach.
Mm-hmm.
And show them. That's all I can do is show you the word. And I was just talking to my granddaughter last night, and she says, well, Grandma, I don't understand why we have to tell people when they're doing wrong. And I took it to Ezekiel chapter 33, where the Most High tells the watchman to warn the unrighteous that they're doing wrong. And if you warn them that they're doing wrong, the blood is no longer on your hands. But if you don't tell them they're doing wrong and they mess up, you're going to be held responsible.
That is correct. Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah.
We have to tell you. We don't have a choice to tell you. We have to tell you. Tell the watchman. He said, warn them.
Hallelujah.
Whether they want to know or not, that's just our job
to
make sure that we get it off our hands.
That's right. That's right.
That is correct. Whether you hear or won't bear.
That's right. So, you know, it says, Ezekiel chapter, I guess it says chapter, you can really start at 1 and go all the way down, you know, to, let me see, you can go all the way down to 13. or 14 or 15. But it talks about how you have to tell the wicked when they're doing wrong.
Absolutely. Get it off of you. Now, they could do what they want with it, but I told you.
We have to tell them. We don't have a choice in the matter. You know, we have to tell them. You know, and whether you what you do with it from that moment, that's on you. If you continue to do it, that's on you. But I told you, my hands are clean.
No.
That's why you get backlash from your family members, and they tell them, we in a cult, and we in this, and we in that, because they don't want to hear it, because the wicked does not want to hear they doing wrong, even though they know it.
Yeah.
Man, when I got finished with her, she tried to out-talk me, but I was patient. I've learned. I've come a long way. I let her talk, but when I got finished, she had to give y'all all the praise, because she was like, well, you know, Grandma, I was raised not to do all that kind of stuff. I said, I know you was, because we put it in you. Now, you know, just because you out on your own, you can't compromise what you've been taught.
No good.
You can't. You got to stand for something. You know, it don't feel good, but you still got to be able to tell them, you know, I told you and showed you, and that's all I can do. Shoot. In the meantime, I got to pray for me, because I got to keep me grounded, and that's the only thing that doesn't is the word and the fear of Yah. Because he said, they don't fear me. These people don't fear me like they should. So like I told her, you can't fix it. You can't try to fix it at the last minute, because you ain't going to have time.
Okay. Hallelujah.
It's going to come quick, and you ain't going to have time. It's going to be too late. So that's why it says today is the acceptable day of salvation. It begins to make sense, don't it, sis? Seek him while he may be found, because when he get ready to come, it's too late. Ain't no talking. He ain't coming to talk. He coming to pass judgment. I don't want to be in that group. I just don't want to be in that group. Well, guess what? We have come to the end of our show. It's 5:00. And Brother Uriah and Brother Jeremiah, you guys want to say the final goodbyes? You guys did a great job. Great job.
Well, I'll just say I thank everybody for just participating, asking questions, and inquiring. I thank the Most High for that opportunity, and everybody be blessed. Continue to seek the word of the Most High and follow his laws, learn his law, statutes, and commandments. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Brother Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And with that, I'll say the same thing he just said. And I'll let you know, Sister Yaina, when I'm ready to do my class, because this was great. I loved it. Even though I was cooking on the grill, I apologize for the noise.
That's great.
No problem. All right, Brother Yerushalayim, you want to give an announcement?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to go ahead and give an announcement for the men's call. Once again, I encourage all the men, even men on this line, reach out to others and invite them to the call. They've been very productive, very coming together, should I say. The number for the call is 720-820-1215. And I repeat, 720-820-1215. That's every Tuesday afternoon at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until whenever.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. All right, everybody. Don't forget, we're going to be here on Wednesday. We do our Genesis class. We're in the book of Genesis. We're learning the book of Genesis. So we're going to make sure everybody knows what's in each chapter of the book of Genesis. So when you get ready to study, you'll look like you're a scholar, because you can go through them chapters and say, 1 through 5 deals with so-and-so, so-and-so, 5 through 10 deals with such, and you'll be able to move forward. So our class number is 319-527-9197. The access code is 256-039-POUND. Again, the number is 319-527-9197. The access code is 256-039-POUND. And on that note, if there's nothing else, everybody have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you on Wednesday night.
Great.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Good night.
Shalom.
If we miss the Wednesday, how do we get the